a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living, and it's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm very excited for you to meet them. Now, we've all heard the adage to let go and let God, you know, maybe it's could be embroidered, you know, on a pillow in your house. It could be, you know, on a bumper sticker on your car. It's a clever way of reminding all of us that, you know, we're never really in charge. And it, you know, compels us to have faith and trust more in God's plans for us than any plans that we could imagine for ourselves. In fact, one of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 33:3, which says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know," which is, you know, kind of in the same zone of let go and let God. But I have to be honest, I've never really liked the whole let go and let God thing, because even though it's very similar to my favorite Bible verse, but because it's always kind of struck me a little bit as like concessionary, you know, like it's a call to not just giving up control, but just kind of giving up effort, you know, which is something I don't think Jesus really had in mind. And that's why I'm so excited for today's guest. Today's guest is someone who personifies the hard work of surrender, the effort that it takes to give yourself over to God every day, with every act, every relationship, in every sense, which is very active. There's nothing passive about it at all. This guy who I just recently met so blessedly in life here is someone who inspires me, and I know he's going to inspire you with the active intention and the work of surrender and being the ultimate reflection of God's love and grace, and not a projection of anything else, and which takes effort and it takes constant attention. Which he just, he's so wonderful. He exudes it enthusiastically in his faith, the faith of those lucky enough to be around him through his mission work, through his myriad small groups, which is actually how we met, with his great wife, his three kids. And so anyway, let's get right to it, because this guy's a man of action and of active surrender. Let's meet today's manna man, Mr. Jack Ratz. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks again for having me on Manna. Your words are first and foremost, I want the audience to know it's I'm humbled by your kind words, your words of grace, and the only reason that what comes out of me is all because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That atoning blood, that power is absolutely amazing, and it's transformative sanctification, right? It's a journey, which I'm happy to share today. Well, some of my journey.
Well, we are, amen, amen, amen. So we actually met. So for those listeners of Manna, you may have heard Jack's voice already. So we did a little mini series a few months back now with our dear friend Todd Johnson. Yes. And his brilliant idea around GRIP, which was it was a little 4-episode jaunt that talked about small groups. That was the G. By the way, for those listening, this is a commercial for GRIP. So if you haven't listened to it, you can go back and listen to these 4 episodes. So G was for small groups. R was for reading your Bible. I was for investing. And then the P was for prayer. And you were the featured guest for small groups. So that's kind of how we met.
Yes.
And we may get into it a little bit today, just for those of you who didn't catch it the first time around. But I kind of want to talk about you. You know, man is all about men of faith and kind of the journey that we've all kind of gone through individually. So let's you know, I'm not going to fake it. Like, I don't know a little bit of your story, but you do have a very I think profound story of coming into your faith and coming in and really kind of meeting Jesus. So let's maybe start there, and then we'll kind of go backwards and forwards, but talk a little bit about how you kind of came into your into your faith, because it was a pretty neat time in your life. And as I said, you know, as we say, you know, God, there's no luck. There's no chance.
Not at all.
At all in God's work. And so there was a very intentional way that you guys, that you and Jesus met. So why don't you tell it? Let's start there.
So true. So true, Jeff. So you said something in the introduction that just caught my attention, surrendered, right? So I was living a life that was absolutely the complete opposite of surrendered. I was living my life my way, selfishly. Came up, my parents, and credit to them, they did their best. They came to faith in Jesus Christ in their time in life, where I was already well exposed to the ways of the world. So alcohol, pornography, just sexual immorality in general, and they did their best to encourage to go to church. It was like I was too far along in life. Mm. And they respected that and realized that a relationship with God is personal, right? They couldn't force it. They couldn't demand it, mm-hmm, or threaten it, even though at times it felt that way. Mm. So how I view myself when I was unsurrendered is I had to go and figure it out. The prodigal son, let him go.
Yeah.
We support you. We love you, and support in a loving way, not in a sinful way. But I got married early. At first, let's back up. I went into the military, and that was for all the wrong reasons, because the party was awesome, mm-hmm, and you could go and have a fun time. Mm-hmm. And then shortly in my military career, actually right at boot camp, was married. Mm-hmm. But again, for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So it was actually through that marriage and some other life events that I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit was intervening. Hmm. And I didn't even know what I was asking people for. So I was at the lowest of low, involved with alcohol, looking at a divorce, broke, just at the bottom of the barrel, hmm, right? And I started asking people just to pray for me.
Hmm. Even without growing up really with a lot of faith tradition, you just kind of knew instinctively to ask for that?
And I wouldn't say instinctively. Again, credit to my parents, mm-hmm, and my grandparents, that they made sure that they would drag us to church as much as possible. Yeah. They always sent us to Bible camp. So
you knew it was a thing.
So the seed was there, yeah. Right? Yeah. The seed was there just at the time. It was just shallow soil, if there was soil at all. Mm. So I did. I was like, I know my parents, every time I talk to my grandma, I'm praying for you, Jack. Mm. Okay, so let me start asking people for prayer. Maybe that's the silver bullet, the magic to turn my life around.
Yeah.
Little did I know what God had in store, what exactly that meant. And it's not turning your life around, it's turning your life into Christ, mm-hmm, to be transformed. Yeah. And it's a lifelong process, but it was right before I was going to be deployed. I started going to church for all the wrong reasons. It was of selfish motivation. And when I sat under the word of God, it just wrecked me. Mm. Wow. It did. There was not a Sunday. I went 4 Sundays before I was deployed back in 2000. And there was not a Sunday I was not walking out of there just a mess, just crying and bawling. And it was actually that 4th Sunday this was down south in Jacksonville, Florida, the good old Bible Belt. And altar calls are important. I'm thankful for them. That's how I come to faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an altar call that Sunday morning. They asked if people needed prayer.
Wow, that's great.
If I can ask... And they were friends that I was asking for prayer. But if I can do that with friends, I was, I guess, brave enough, if you'll call it even that, to raise my hand and ask for prayer. And that's when a senior gentleman came down. I think I said in the Grip episode that he was as old as Methuselah. What I love is that when we go to our eternal home with God, that he will remember me, and I think God will make that connection where we can celebrate in him as now brothers in Christ. because it was that question, if I knew Jesus Christ, that mm-hmm. turned it all around.
Yeah, and so cool, and I love that story. The timing of it then, so then you're deployed, and so now you're, you know, you're thousands of miles away from the family and all these people that it was like, it was the best send off ever. You know, mm-hmm. they sent you off with that seed, and as much as it transformed you and for the rest of your life, what's also, it was the gift, I think, to your parents, to your grandmother, to the old guy, mm-hmm. because it gave them the opportunity to sort of dispatch that prayer on you, you know. And that's, I think, as the community and as we're all hopefully blessed enough to be surrounded by people like you, and it is that you get, it's such a cliche, but you give, and the giving is, in fact, you get so much back, you know. Mm. It's very much back and forth, you know.
Yeah, well said. You really see the fruits of your prayer here, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not always going to see the fruits of our prayers, of our labors here on earth. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, because it's so broken, right? So in those glimpses, like you say, where people are praying and you can see fruits, it's for great celebration in the yeah. Lord. I guess another point I would make is, if you have audience, people in your lives that you just think they're unreachable for Christ, please don't give up on them. Mm-hmm. Continue to pray. Continue to sow seeds of encouragement and of love, and especially of God's word. You know, my grandma, Proverbs 3:5-6, a life verse, because that's every letter, every time we spoke, it was always Proverbs 3:5-6. Yeah. So I knew it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that was, I didn't understand it, but she knew that the word, God's word, will not come back void.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a seed in there that was able to take root and became then foundation. Mm-hmm. As when I was first saved, it went from bad. I would argue and debate that it went from bad to worse. Mm. So I got in some trouble. That opened my eyes. And that really, that was the Holy Spirit. Okay, you've received me. Let me just open your eyes to this, because this isn't okay anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Owned it.
Yeah.
Part of being a Christ follower is to be responsible and own it, and sin is sin, and repent of it. But then there's consequences. So dealt with those consequences. Had the blessing of being in a Bible study. But if it wasn't for that Bible study, that core group while we were deployed in 2000, when I got the letter that, hey, I'm leaving, I'm divorcing you, there's somebody else in the picture. Mm-hmm. I would have spiraled.
Yeah, for
again.
Sure. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
That foundation was being laid. Yeah. I was on the rock.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, the storm was raging and everything was crazy, if I wouldn't have been standing on the rock, it would have been
totally. And I think that is, and I'm sure there's a much better way of saying what I'm going to try to say. And there's probably even scripture that says it, but it's like, your faith doesn't relieve problems in your life. It doesn't take them away. It steals you. It fortifies you with the ability to deal with them, you know.
Amen.
And if not for faith, yeah, like what, it, like how would you have ever, you know, kind of gone through it? I also think what you're saying about you know, with the people that interceded for you, and our opportunities to intercede for others. I think the idea of intercessions, something that we relegate to Mary or our guardian angels or whatever, which is awesome. It's so great. But sometimes I feel like that it almost makes it seem like only those super, super holy people, you know, who have all died can intercede, can actually like vouch for you. Wow. And that's so not true. Like we can do that for each other.
Totally.
You can pray for, you know, the brothers or the friends or the coworkers, you know. And I think that's such a, I don't think we necessarily think of ourselves as able to intercede on behalf of others.
I would completely agree that I'll just confess here that I don't do enough of it in the moment, but that long-term intercessory prayer, I don't have established. You know, right now, I believe a brother, he's really wrestled with his faith with Christ, and he's been on the Ensenada mission trip that we go on. on a regular basis, but his son decided to join the army, went through Ranger school, doing great, and he's now in Afghanistan. So when it's right here and it's real, wow. I've been praying for him.
Yeah, right.
But protection's great, and the physical protection is. I don't know where this young man is in his relationship with Jesus. So the prayer shouldn't just stop at God, keep him safe. You are his shelter. You are his fortress. Keep him protected. Much more so, God, if this is what your time to really bring him into your fold, then your will be done.
Yeah.
You know, in long term, follow up with them and all that. And that's where, you know, when I was first saved, it was beautiful because although I had different stuff going on, it was just me and Jesus on a day-to-day basis. And I try and replicate that day in and day out. And for those that are listening, it should be a huge difference. The days that you meet with Jesus and grow in that relationship and it's intentional, right? Going back to let go and let God, you can't.
Yeah. It's
you can't let go. Yeah. You always should be hanging on to Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Grafted into the vine, John 15, we're grafted in for a reason and it's to grow. So my point is you should see a distinct difference the days that you spend with Jesus, and hopefully that's 7 days a week, 365, in the days that you don't.
Yeah. I think of so many people that you have blessed with your story and your enthusiasm for Christ. And I think, you know, three of the luckiest people on this planet for it are your boys. Mm. And so they've never known another version of Jack, yeah. of Dad. What's it like? Because they're at great stages. You know, you're catching them. And one of the questions we're going to ask at the end of this little episode is about advice. And so not necessarily advice that you're giving, but how do you think of that as a dad? And you've got these three, you know, you've got these three prospects here. Oh. You know, you got three prospects for Christ on the bench here. Like, how do you, and your wife obviously plays a big role in it, but what's it like raising these little, you know, future men of Christ?
Yeah, that's a great question. And just as you say it's heavy, right? They don't come with instructions. There's certainly scripture. Parents out there, look at the scriptures about being a parent. Husband, wives, you know, there's scripture for all the different, I don't want to say roles because that just seems to minimize it so much because they're so important, right? But as husbands, for the wives, there's scripture, but then for parents as well of how to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord when they wake up, when they go to bed, to be speaking about God's word. So I try to be as intentional as I can that in moments, okay, what does God's word say about this?
Yeah, right.
You know, we always try to bring it back to God's word.
Do you think at all about, so like with your folks, you know, they kind of rolled the dice a little bit and had faith and it worked, you know what I mean? And those seeds, like you said, they were planted and it just had to do with, you know, your own soil and being able to kind of, do you have the same, what's different maybe about as you look, not better or worse, but just with your boys, you know, are you doing things to, cause I always feel like I'm hedging the bat. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm always like, yep, I know it's all, everyone's got to come do it on their own free will, but I'm trying to like stack the deck as much as I can.
Right.
So do you feel like, do you have that same kind of confidence that your folks had, or are you trying to be a little bit, maybe more, you know, active in the, you know, leading the witness a little bit on the path?
Yeah. My wife and I are much more active. Yeah. So how we're blessed, it's a different journey. Right. So my parents actually came to faith after my brother and I were born. So we were already, oh gosh. And I would have to really ask them the timeline. But I recall late elementary, really going into middle school.
Okay.
So again, my family dynamic on my side, we struggle. There's been struggle with alcohol. There's been struggle with marriage. There's many struggles of the way of the world. So I was exposed to all that. thought that that's what life is. Mm-hmm. And then to undo that, especially in a child's heart, is very difficult, right? So Lynn and I have been very blessed that we are solid in our faith. Jesus is everything. Jesus is what, when we talk about what we would die for, defend, or just debate, that's a die for.
Yeah.
You know, I've had dear brothers, and just a quick, I'll tie this all together. In 2001, I did a mission trip to Romania, and I sat and I listened to the testimony of Pop. His name was Pops, and he at that time was probably in his 70s. So he had experienced under communism being tied, being bound on a chair with his wife behind him with the threat that they would put a bullet in her head if he didn't renounce Christ. Mm. And I decided right then and there that I want to be that man, that if it comes down to it, my trust, my surrendered heart is Christ and not just mine. So when we start talking about family, it gets heavy.
Yeah, right.
Because that's full trust, right?
It is.
God, you are Lord and Savior of me, my wife, and to this point, our boys, they will profess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. So we have to trust in that. To tie it back into, we're blessed, is that we started instilling that into them, reading Bible, having them memorize scripture, from infancy. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our oldest on video, St. John 14:6. Mm. And it's just, I and the way, the truth and the wife, almost like Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd. Yeah. And it just blesses our heart, right? Yeah. But with that, now that they're starting to grow, you're seeing different influences of the world, but we can talk through that.
Right.
And we don't have to just talk about it from opinion.
Right.
We can dig into God's word and say, look, you're professing Jesus is your Lord and Savior. This is what your heavenly Father is saying. Mm-hmm. And I've been completely humble and honest with them that I'm going to screw up. Yeah. I still deal with this flesh, the sin of this flesh, my selfishness, and all that comes with that. God's perfect. Mm-hmm. So to have that conversation and to point them to the eternal source of where not only is their forgiveness, but where they're going to spend eternity, that's a gift. Yeah. It's priceless. It's a priceless gift to be able to give to your kids.
Totally. And so much of, I think it's sometimes as parents, we forget that, you know, our kids are only, they only know what, I mean, for the time that we have them, they only know what they're surrounded by. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of do, it's all about the source material. And so if they're walking around the house and they're seeing a lot of externals, or they're sitting down to a meal and nothing starts until you pray, I mean, that's all they know. Right. And so, they're going to, as we all, you know, we all grow up and they're going to get exposed to different things. But yeah, that foundation and setting is such a, and it's such a gift for us to be able to try to do that for our kids, and have them grow up. What about for you growing up, and I understand, you came to kind of the fully sort of maturation of faith later, but, we talk a lot on Manna about role models and men who have shaped and, we talked about your parents, but were there other guys especially, teachers or coaches that as you look back, they were also part of the, kind of the seed planting, that kind of shaped you as a younger man.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you're asking the question, because I think it was a divine intervention. I think the Holy Spirit, I didn't know an audience. I didn't, Jeff did not front load me with any of these questions for me to have answers prepared. So this is literally the Holy Spirit just moving on our hearts to use our mouthpiece for His honor and glory. So I'll share that disclaimer before giving my answer of, as I was preparing to come over here and thinking of my testimony and who has been influential, I thought of a couple men specifically. So one of the first is, his name's Tommy Mallard, still lives west side of Jacksonville. when the family and I went down to a vacation to St. Augustine, I set up to be with him and his wife, and one of their two boys were able to join us one of the nights. But anyways, I share Tommy Mallard's name because he was absolutely influential. So I come back from deployment. My wife's with another man, and I start doing my research of what's going on. How, you know, I'm begging for her back because I believe that's what Christ is calling me to do, and it's just not being received. And another person tells me, hey, do you know that they're going to church over here? So I called the pastor of the church, and at that time it was Tommy Mallard, and he had no idea. And I think that day, in fact, he wanted to meet with me, and that started our relationship.
Cool.
So, and he just poured into my life in such a way that I'll never forget. He brought me right into his family.
Yeah.
He encouraged me to be a mentor to his boys. As he mentored me, I mentored his boys. We'd get together and work out. It was just awesome. He's a big, strong dude as well, and just loves working out. And we'd do mixed martial arts and all kinds of cool stuff.
That's cool.
But it was always centered on Christ.
Yeah.
So we'd be getting on the bench press to do a bench competition to see who could push the most weight. And he's quoting 2 Timothy to his kids that, hey, this is all good, but this kind of exercise pales in comparison to working out your spiritual, and I'm just blanking on 2 Timothy
right now.
What a
cool guy. That's awesome. So
that was my role model. And of course, this is, so married, divorced, God has not brought Lynn into my life at this point. So I'm single. And these are just, again, seeds and men that God used in my life to prepare really for his second chance, if you will, for my marriage with my wife, Lynn, and our three wonderful boys.
Yeah.
So that was one.
Yeah.
Tim Zittle. We were just in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They are missionaries in Belize.
Wow.
And he is married to his beautiful wife, Jennifer Zittle. They have one boy that they, God bless them, to have together. And then their, I had to count all the kids. The three others are all adopted.
Oh, great. Oh,
but again, they poured into Lynn and I early into our marriage. Actually, we were newly married. And we were just tight.
Yeah.
So that's actually where our heartbeat for groups really came from.
Yeah.
Is that we would just get together with them and then a couple other people and pour into each other. That when we moved here to Minnesota, we're like, we want to replicate this. We want our house open. We want to be part of groups. And like I shared in that episode, that came from our small group, which is our Bible study group, but then a marriage group and other Bible study through Todd. And we just really value doing life together with others.
So great. And such great examples too. I mean, like I said in the intro, you're just somebody who is you're honoring your relationship with Jesus by continuing to work on it. And even as you talk about these role models, because a lot of times I think when we think of role models, it's, again, a little bit more of a passive thing, like, oh, I watched him do this, or he did this for me, or she did this for me or to me. And what you just described was a very active nurturing of a relationship, you know, and not just letting it go as like, hey, he's a great guy, you know, we go lift or whatever. It's like, no, and so I think that's just a great example of it. And also, as I'm just thinking, you know, our listenership in Florida and Tennessee better go up big now. Because you get some major shout outs.
Amen. Good guys. Amen.
Well, we could talk all day long. I can't believe we've already been talking as long as we have. So we better get to the fun segment here. So this is the part of the show where we ask the same three questions of every guest. And we've been so blessed with so many answers over the last, you know, 5 seasons now. And so I can't wait for years here. So a fun segment question number one, if Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning, there in your lovely town of Dayton, Minnesota, there, and just wanted to hang out for the day, and you got a whole day with Jesus, what are you going to do with him?
Wow. so many questions, but I guess just top of mind and Holy Spirit guide me, I wouldn't want to make it about me. You know, just being so inspired by Dallas Jenkins in the Chosen episodes that he's rolling out, that, you know, and it's just repeated in these episodes so many times, not my will, but your will, Lord, be done. So I would really want to know, Jesus, what you already know,
what do you want to do?
Yeah. What the plan is.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to be part of that.
Yeah. That's great.
If his grace, and it's not if it, his grace is extended to us in that way.
Yeah.
And he welcomes us
to
join in that plan, in his will, to love others, to further his kingdom, to bring about salvation, that salvation message to others. And that's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
I think, and not selfish, because there will be no more sin in heaven, but question and answers and all that we're curious about and all that, we have eternity to do that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of work to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So I definitely want to be a laborer.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it's also very appropriate to the even surrendering down to the day. It's like, all right, well, let's your will be done. I love that. All right, fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with another guy, okay, living or dead, famous or not, you could know him, you could not know him. But you're going to church and it's going to be with another guy. Who are you going to go to church with?
Oh, so many pop into my mind. And I guess I would lean with somebody that I've been inspired by over the years and just early in my faith, really dug in. And this is somebody that doesn't just come with milk and cookies. I mean, they bring the meat fest. And I think of Charles Spurgeon. You know, I would listen to his sermons and I've read a number of his books and he was just so influential, either that or like C.S. Lewis.
Oh yeah.
But there too, I think I'd be very nervous with C.S. Lewis because he is so cerebral. I mean, in a divine way, so cerebral that just think of Screwtape Letters, right?
Oh, amazing.
I mean, that just,
I know.
A lot of it just shoots right over my simpleton mind.
Yeah. Both would be companions that would just like, you know, you think of things that like spices that make food taste that much better, or things that just amplify. And I think both of those would just they'd take kind of your normally divine mass or normally divine church service and just like take it up to another notch.
Oh yes,
so great.
Yeah,
cool.
Seasoning salted. Those two men are salt of the earth, without a doubt. Definitely. They didn't lose their saltiness.
Totally. All right. Last question. Fun segment. Question number three, and you can draw on personal experience here because you've had many opportunities to do this. But if you could give a piece of advice, one piece of advice, to a younger man, you know, and maybe, you know, thinking of yourself maybe back in the day. You know, kind of further upstream about living a life like yours of confident faith. You know, what would that one piece of advice be to a younger man?
Yeah, so a younger man, and perhaps maybe even early in faith, you have to be intentional. It's a must. If you think that you can read through the Bible and then, I got it, you'll drift. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the drift is not in the direction of Jesus. So it's lifelong. Sanctification is a journey. And to be sanctified and transformed, we have to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one way. Oh, Jesus, I'll lob a couple prayers and you do your thing. And when I need you, I'll ring you up. Jeremiah 33:3. That's not active faith. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage a young man to be engaged, and not just leave him out there. Jack, what does that look like? Get into the Gospel of John. Matter of fact, do you want to read the Gospel of John together?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on a weekly, biweekly, once a month basis, whatever that frequency looks like, let's break it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would want to give that gift back to a young man because that's what I was gifted with.
Yeah, so
that,
true.
That's what God orchestrated in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to do for others.
Yeah, so. No, it's so great. And I think you're absolutely right that sometimes, you know, when we celebrate, and we should, but when we celebrate free will, mm-hmm. you know, this idea yeah. of free will, sometimes we lean too much on the first word and not on the second. Because you have to have will.
Yeah.
It can't be unintentional.
Right.
And I think that's a great piece of advice to give somebody.
Well said.
Jack Ratz, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for being here.
Always a privilege.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.